Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm super excited that the weekend is finally here. It's been raining all day, but it finally stopped, and which was good for me because I was holding my computer and stuff on my way in here. But, you know, it's finally starting to feel like fall, and with the fall season comes allergies, so I'm sorry if I sound super stuffed up right now. I've been blowing my nose all day long. This whole week has been one of my busiest, and unfortunately the workload is going to continue through my weekend. I work tomorrow night as well as Sunday, so that kind of sucks, but on my day off, because tonight's my only day off, I get to be with you guys, which I love because I love being on the station and sharing my thoughts and experiences with you guys. I actually wanted to take a step back this week and talk about something a little more serious than my past two topics. I think it's important to discuss touchy issues and open up the dialogue so they no longer have to be. So the first week we went from boys, the second week we went to parties, and this Friday's topic is body image. And so I knew I wanted to discuss body image on my show. For one, it is Bully Awareness Month, if you didn't already know, and you know, body image and self-esteem, self-confidence, that all plays a role in, you know, bullies and being bullied, all that super fun stuff, not really. So, and then two, I wanted to talk about body image and self-esteem and all that because it is something that most people have dealt with, and I'm super passionate about these issues. Body image has always been something I've struggled with. Growing up, I was the biggest kid in my class. I was definitely overweight and always compared myself to the other girls. My self-esteem was pretty low. I wasn't bullied, really. I was well-liked in my classes, but I was definitely my main critic. I was, you know, of course, called names every once in a while, but for the most part, it was just me picking out my flaws and, you know, wishing I could be someone else. It even, you know, got to the point where I'd draw, like, lines on my body where I'd want to change something about myself. And so I remember this one time in third grade, I was 8 years old in third grade. We were sitting on the floor, Indian style, and I was, like, looking at the other girls' legs for some reason. At 8 years old, I was pointing out my flaws already, and I was looking at their legs and I was like, why don't their legs look like my legs when they sit Indian style? You know, I had like chunky legs, and I was like I want my legs to look like that. So I seriously outlined on my legs where I wanted to get rid of like the chunkiness. And I just like, I think back to that and it's so crazy that at 8 years old I was so focused on the way I looked when really I should have been focused on having fun, like playing on the jungle gym and doing kid stuff. But I was so focused on what I look like, and that just was crazy to me. Another time I can remember where I felt kind of bad about myself was actually in seventh grade, and we had this seventh grade passion play. It's the Passion of Christ, because I went to a private Catholic school and my class was putting it on. So the boys auditioned for Jesus, the role of Jesus, and the girls auditioned for the role of Mary. It was kind of mandatory. So everyone in my class already thought that this one girl, Allie, was going to be Mary for sure. She was perfect in everyone's eyes, skinny and pretty, and she was very nice too. So they were like, oh yeah, she's definitely going to be Mary. Like, she is perfect. So we did auditions. We had to do them in front of everyone, which is kind of awkward, but whatever. And I actually did pretty well, I'm not gonna lie. I felt really good about the audition, but, you know, everyone was like, yeah, Allie's definitely gonna get it. So I kind of figured, she probably will get it, you know, since everyone thinks so. So I think it was a couple days later and class got out. The results were, I don't know why they were taped to the side of our school, but they were. So they were taped up on the side of our school building. So we all just like run to the wall where it was posted. And I didn't even get to the wall before someone came up to me and was like, dude, you're Mary. You got the part of Mary. And I was so excited. I was just like, what the heck? How, like, out of everyone, like, not even this girl Allie got it, but I did. And so I went up to the paper to, like, see it for myself. And, you know, everyone who was looking at who got the role of Mary and Jesus, they were super disappointing or super disappointed. The looks on their faces, they were just kind of, I guess, bummed that Allie didn't get the part. And I even heard a few comments like, you know, I didn't think that Emma was, like, meant for the role or, like, looked like she would be good for the role. And so it just kind of turned that great thing into something negative. And I just felt bad about getting it because that's how everyone made me feel. Like, I was, like, I don't know, too ugly, too big to play the part of Mary. But, you know, whatever. I played the part and I rocked it. So that's all that matters at the end of the day. So, you know, like, looking back at these times, it's super sad to me. You know, I was 8 when my body image and self-esteem and self-confidence became an issue. And that lasted all the way up through high school, even. And I know I'm not the only one who has DJ Diamond just tripped on the chair. Oh my God. I know I'm not the only one who has struggled or is still struggling with self-esteem and body image. Most of us could pick out something about ourselves right now that we'd want to change. And it isn't always easy to accept those flaws or what we think are flaws and have confidence in who we are or how we look, because the body images that society gives us are so distorted and unrealistic. And a lot of the times, these insecurities that we have because of those unrealistic body images affect our relationships or interfere with school and work. They may even prevent us from pursuing certain opportunities. I'm going to tell you about this one time. It was freshman year in high school, and I was 165 pounds at 5'2". And to give you guys a better understanding of how, like, overweight I actually was, a healthy weight that I should have been at 5'2", was between 104 pounds and 135 pounds. So I was 30 pounds overweight. And so, you know, freshman year, I wanted to try out for volleyball because I had played it 5th to 8th grade, and I really loved the sport. It's one of my favorites. And so the tryouts lasted 3 days, and honestly, I hated it. I actually didn't go the whole 3 days. After the first day, I just felt so bad about myself, and I did not want to play. I lost the liking for the sport. I saw all of these fit, skinny girls and immediately felt inferior to them. It's not like they were any better at the sport than I was, but in my own head, I made myself think that they were better because they were skinny. And the girls that tried out with me didn't say anything to me to make me feel that way. I just had no self-confidence that I bullied myself to the point of not wanting to play my favorite sport. So, you know, after the first day of tryouts, I told my mom I just didn't want to play anymore. I didn't tell her why. I just said I just didn't want to play. She didn't give me the option to quit, so she forced me to go to the second day of tryouts. And, you know, halfway through, I just stop completely. I just stop in my tracks, and I start bawling my eyes out in the middle of the court. And I didn't really have to explain to the coach what was wrong. I think she kind of understood that I just did not want to play. I was not happy. And so she gave me a hug, and I sat out the rest of tryouts until my mom had picked me up. My mom, to this day, does not know the reason why I didn't play. I told her that I didn't make the team, that I was cut the second day of tryouts. So that's seriously what she believes to this day. She didn't know that I didn't want to play because I felt bad about myself. Looking back, I wish I had more confidence, because I actually was really good at volleyball, but I let those negative thoughts and feelings just overtake me completely. And it definitely sucks. It drains you. It exhausts you emotionally, mentally, physically, like all of the above. And obsessing over weight could also lead to bigger problems like eating disorders and anxiety. I have anxiety to this day. It's not that bad, and I don't know if it's caused from these experiences or it's just me being an anxious person, but I definitely do have anxiety. And as far as eating disorders go, I'm really lucky to not have experienced that. I've seen my family members go through it, and it's not something to take lightly or ignore. It's very serious because, you know, we only have one body, and it is so important to take care of it. We kind of have to remind ourselves that people who care about what we look like don't care about our health and safety. And that is the most important, that we are healthy and we don't let these bad thoughts and feelings about our bodies control what we do in life. That's, of course, easier said than done, but we all just have to take it one day at a time and learn to love ourselves and not care what others think of us, because like I said, there's only one of us, so why would you want to be anyone else? You're special, you're beautiful, you're smart, you are everything you should be. Life is way too short to let people decide whether you're worthy or not. And you just got to say F it, take chances, and enjoy every moment of every day, and just try to block out of the negative. Because no matter what, there will always be someone critiquing you. We just got to let them know that they don't control or have control of us, and we don't care what they say. Because, you know, it's so sad to see our generation and younger generations of girls become manipulated by unrealistic body images. These, like, good-hearted people are being taken over by societal expectations for how their body should look, and it should not be that way at all. And I know I keep saying it's not okay, we need to block out the negative and just not care what people think. It took me years to get to that point. Where I am now, it took me a very long time to get here. Sorry for all of the noises in the background. We're just messing with all of the equipment. So sorry. So yeah, it definitely took me a long time. I have self-confidence now. I have high self-esteem. I really could care less what people thought of me. And I definitely love myself. For me to get to this point, I had to go through many trial and error diet, workout plans. Puberty hit me really hard. I was a late bloomer and didn't go through puberty until I was 15, so mid-freshman year. I also took up cheerleading junior year of high school, which allowed me to be a part of a team again, which gave me that sense of self-worth and responsibility to be healthier and more fit. It made me just happy, more happy all around. So, and I think that's very important to find, like, your niche in whatever you're doing, whether it's relationships, friendships, hobbies, talents, whatever it is, just find your little place, and that will just set you up for a more positive environment. What really helped me as well and still helps me is when I'm feeling a little down about myself, I think about all of the positive things in my life, and I remind myself that I'm super lucky to be who I am because, you know, for example, I have a great family relationships. My friends, I adore them, and they are always there for me. I have family, friends. I have a great education. I have a roof over my head. You know, all of these positive things. And thinking of those, just, it builds you up and gives you that confidence and happiness and makes you appreciate the things in your life a bit more. So the next time you may be feeling bad about yourself, or you catch yourself comparing, you know, you to other people, try to think about all of the good in your life and the positive things that have happened to you. It really, really does help. Trust me. So we're going to go to an early break. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward. Hey guys, we're back from break. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward. Before the break, I was just discussing my own personal experiences with self-confidence and body image and all that. I wanted to now read an article that I had seen a couple years ago, and I still think about it to this day because it really hits home and sort of fuels my passion for issues such as body image and self-confidence. You'll see why right now when I read it to you. I wanted to share this article with you guys because it's a solid example of how society has made young kids and young adults feel victimized just for being who they are, which may include being a bigger size than other people their age. So it's actually a blog. And it says, it's titled, Dear Abercrombie, thank you for allowing us fat, uncool kids to buy your clothing. And then the writer goes in to talk about, he says, Abercrombie and Fitch never wanted overweight people to wear their clothing. It was not meant for us. I know this because when I was younger, I could not fit into their shirts or pants. It was then confirmed by their CEO, Mike Jeffries. It was meant for cool kids, the popular kids. Of course, that does not include overweight people, because how could a fat kid be cool and popular? Mike Jeffries, the CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch, says, in every school, there are the cool and popular kids, and then there are the not-so-cool kids. Candidly, we go after the cool kids. We go after the attractive, all-American kid with a great attitude and a lot of friends. A lot of people don't belong in our clothes, and they can't belong. Are we exclusionary? Absolutely. Those companies that are in trouble are trying to target everybody. Young, old, fat, skinny. But then you become totally vanilla. You don't alienate anybody, but you don't excite anybody either. You know, this article or this blog when it was brought to the surface and a lot, you know, everyone knew what the deal was with this Mike Jeffries guy, it just, their store got so much hate and their stock went down 25% that year and had been down for 7 straight quarters before then. And then their, you know, even today, their clothing hasn't really been that relevant to kids in quite a while. And so they, of course, changed their ways and made bigger sizes just so they would be able to bring in more money. And Mike Jeffries goes on to say, "We hire good-looking people in our stores because good-looking people attract other good-looking people. And we want to market to cool, good-looking people. We don't market to anyone other than that." That makes me so mad. He said good-looking so many times in this, and he's referring to the skinny, you know, quote-unquote, all-American kids, and it's just frustrating because that doesn't make a person good-looking. To me, if they if they're attractive on the outside and their character is just scum, then their looks really mean nothing to the people around them. And that goes both ways. If they're, you know, what society deems is ugly, but they have a great personality, society tends to focus more on the outer appearance than the character itself. So it just sucks. So the blog goes on. The writer says, "I was a fat, uncool kid who wanted to fit in. I distinctly remember not being able to fit into Abercrombie, yet I could wear Polo, Hilfiger, Nike, Reebok, and 9 million other brands of clothing. These companies are still successful today." And he goes on to say how Abercrombie was just desperate, and he likes them better, or he liked them better when they hated on fat people. And he says, "I will always be a fat, uncool kid at heart. It does not go away." So, you know, that whole article just makes me really mad because I actually looked at the guy, the CEO, and he obviously does not know what good looking looks like because he is a piece of crap. No, DJ Diamond just laughed. But I'm dead serious. He is not cute at all. He looks like a busted Ken doll. You know, like someone just ran over him with a car or something. That's what he looks like. No, that's really messed up. I'm just kidding. But yeah, that I just wanted to share that blog or that article with you guys. 'Cause I just remember reading about it a couple of years back, and it's just always stayed with me. Because it's amazing that people actually think and speak out like that. And it's so disrespectful. Even if you aren't victimized by something like this, it still kind of hurts your heart a little bit. And you can still do something to support those who are victimized. You can, you know, stop buying products from companies like Abercrombie & Fitch. That's what I do to sort of protest against the disrespect that people are getting. I've never even bought anything from Abercrombie & Fitch, but now I know I will never, because I just don't tolerate bullies, because that's what they are. And so I mentioned how obsessing over body image can drain one emotionally and interfere with school and work. I gave you my story when I was trying out for volleyball. And I wanted to take the light off of me and share another girl's story so you guys can get another perspective. Let me pull it up right now. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. So let's scroll down. This was last year, November 18th. Her name's Carolyn, and she posted about her bullying story. And I'm going to read the whole thing to you guys. "When I was in elementary school, I was a very happy and outgoing kid and had lots of friends. But when I started secondary school, some older kids started to bully and tease me. All my friends from elementary school left me because they didn't want to be seen with me. At my school, everything was all about money and clothes. I had huge glasses, I was really ugly, and everyone laughed at me. Then a boy, he was in eighth grade, started to follow me around. He called me names, took my stuff, and made up rumors about me. One day, he and his friends beat me up on the bus. No one wanted to be friends with me anymore. Then I became friends with two girls in my class. They started making up rumors about me. Everyone kept telling me what a bad person I was. In sixth grade, so think back to sixth grade, how old were you? You were 12? 12, yeah, sixth grade, so you're 12 years old. I was 11 in sixth grade because my birthday's in the summer, so I was 11 in sixth grade. And so she said the bullying got even worse. Everyone said I was ugly and I should just kill myself. Kill myself, you guys. Like, she was being told to just end her life. In seventh grade, my mom made me attend afternoon classes. Full-time school was voluntary at my school. The kids in afternoon class started bullying me, too. They followed me around and took photos of me in the bathroom to send them to the whole school. When I got home from school, I would go to my room and cry all evening. I never talked to anyone. My grades dropped, and my teacher started to talk to my parents. They told them I was lazy and refused to participate. They knew I was bullied, but they never did anything to stop it. Everyone hated me, and I didn't have a single friend. I just want to tell everyone who's going through the same. And she gives like a little, you know, word of advice, which I thought was super nice. It gets better. I know it's really hard and you might feel like giving up sometimes, but you have to be yourself and stay confident. Don't let them get to you. I know you're suffering, but at some point you'll be proud of yourself for all that you've been through. And if anyone judges you, it is their own problem. Those people have no idea what you've been through. They probably couldn't even take it, but you had to take it, and you're still going on with your life, and that's why you can be proud of yourself. And I just really, really like that entry by her. I completely agree in a really big way, as Captain Quality would say. If I didn't struggle with my weight and go through the hard times of having little to none self-confidence and low self-esteem. And that sounds horrible, but I am a super strong person today because of that. And I do have my moments, of course, like everyone, where like little things get to me and I just think badly about myself just for like a small second. But I've grown a thick layer of skin, and I am almost grateful for those times because I appreciate my life and the people in it. I have an even bigger respect for them and others around me because, you know, you never really know what one is going through. It's so easy to just assume someone is quote unquote fat because they overeat, but maybe they have a thyroid condition or they're depressed because a family member died or, you know, something just wasn't right in their life. And because of the experiences I went through, I have learned to put myself in other people's shoes and try to understand their side before I assume and assume who they are as a person just based on what they look like. So with that being said, I'm gonna take another break. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward.
I'm taking every move I make, feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain, I'm always gonna wanna make it move.
Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to penguinradio.dominican.edu. There was a mess up on the switchboard, or the mixer, my bad, the mixer. So, you know me, I'm DJ Goody, this is Awkward, and I was looking at this article, ladies and gentlemen, friends. I was looking at this article, and it's titled Teens and Cosmetic Surgery. And, you know, cosmetic surgery plays a big role in the body image and self-esteem, like, area. And this article is really interesting. It says, in 2015, more than 226,000 cosmetic procedures were performed on patients between 13 and 19, including nearly 65,000 surgical procedures such as nose reshaping, breast lifts, breast augmentation, liposuction, and tummy tucks. And it says very few studies have been conducted to examine the risks for teens of these increasingly common surgeries. Research... Sorry, just talking to DJ Diamond over here. And it says research is especially needed for the more controversial procedures such as breast implants, liposuction, and genital plastic surgery. So it goes on to talk about plastic surgery and all that fun stuff. And by the way, this is by the writer Diana Zuckerman. She has a PhD, so she is educated on plastic surgery and what it does to the teen body. And this is ourbodies.org, so that's where the article came from. But I just wanted to give my personal opinion on plastic surgery and young girls and guys doing it because they have self-esteem issues or they just don't like something about themselves. And for a little while when I was younger, I wanted to get the surgery, but I knew that I was too young. It's surgery, it's really serious, and I just didn't think that it was like realistic for me to get it done. But as I got older and more young people started getting these surgeries done, especially celebrities, you know, for example, Kylie Jenner and her lip fillers, you know, people like her who have these huge insecurities and are made fun of it for it or just looked down on for just like something that they were born with, it pushed them to get these surgeries. And to me, if a surgery makes you happier or makes you less insecure about yourself and gives you the confidence you need, then I am all for it. Of course, the surgery should always be done by a professional, a good one, not just some random person that you might trust, but a professional surgery, and you know, you know all the health risks, and of course you think about it in advance, whatever. But if it means that you're going to be happy about the way you look and it just makes you feel better as a person, then I don't see any reason why you couldn't get a lip filler or a nose job. You know, there are non-surgical procedures where you can get a nose job and you don't have to go under you know? So I am definitely all for cosmetic surgeries, you know, to an extent, as long as, you know, what you're doing, you know, allows you to grow and get that confidence that you've been wanting. And yeah, so I'm taking a look at this, and it says plastic surgery in a developing teen. It says one of the concerns about plastic surgery on adolescents is that their bodies are still maturing. In addition to development that may occur in the late teens, growth charts indicate that the average young woman gains weight between the ages of 18 and 21, and that is likely to change her desire or need for breast augmentation and liposuction. And then it says there are no there are no studies or clinical trials on the safety and long-term risks of those procedures for adolescents. Now reading this, I mean, I still think that young people, teens, young adults, they can do the surgery and it's totally fine. But to an extent, you know, a 13-year-old getting breast implants, I remember reading something in the news and this mom let her 14-year-old daughter get breast implants, I think, because she was bullied at school, you know, part of the itty bitty titty committee, and it just weighed her down so much. I'm definitely part of that committee, but it's okay. DJ David's like, me too, you little liar. Are you serious? But yeah, I remember reading that article and I was like, what the heck? Like, what the heck? Like, the mom's letting her 14-year-old daughter get breast implants. Like, she is still growing. She's probably going to get bigger boobs by the time she's like, you know, what is she, 14, 16? She's going to have bigger boobs when she's 16. Like, it just didn't make sense to me that her mom would allow her to do that when her body's still growing. So I understand, like, the other side of it. And I don't think that, you know, young adults or teens under the age of 18 should do surgeries like that just because their bodies are still growing. But overall, plastic surgery, yay if it means that you're going to be happy, you know, because who's to tell you what to do with your life, honestly? So if Kylie Jenner wants lip fillers and butt implants or whatever, then let her do her thing. It's just, she's constantly in the spotlight. And, you know, she was bullied for her lips being so thin and her body and whatever. And so it sort of pushed her to get these surgeries done, and now that she has them done, everyone's still critiquing her and bashing on her for it. It's like, oh, well, she has lip fillers, she's a bad person, and oh my god, her body's so fake, like look at her in 2012 and look at her now, like she's a completely different person. But it's like, if you think about it, society pushed her to that point. Society told her that she was ugly and that she needed to change because she does not fit what society deems is beautiful. And it just, you know, people will never be happy. And so do what you need to do to make yourself happy, because you can't try to impress all these other people, because at the end of the day, someone's going to be unhappy. So you just need to not focus on what they need or what they want, because this is your life, you're living it. I think Kylie Jenner is beautiful and she is super confident in herself, and that has a lot to do with the surgeries she's gotten. And I think it's great that has boosted her self-confidence, because everyone deserves to feel confident in themselves. And so, yeah, those are my thoughts on plastic surgery. I'm going to go to another break. You guys are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward. Welcome back, you guys. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. DJ Diamond just messing everything up. No, just kidding. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward. So, you know, for my last segment, I wanted to talk about the bullying side of body image a little bit more. and just kind of bring up some pointers on how to stand up to people being bullied, I guess. So I'm sure lots of us have seen someone being bullied at some point. It's probably easier to just stand by or laugh it off because it's like so awkward in a sense that you just kind of react naturally by laughing or just kind of staring. But, you know, you got to be brave and you could really be someone's hero. And that sounds super dramatic, but it's true. You could really change someone's life by standing up for them. And because, you know, the person being bullied feels alone and bad about themselves. You know, they have low self-esteem and someone's picking on them. So they're going to just feel very worthless. So here are, you know, some ways you can make a difference when you see bullying happen. And this could be bullying of all kinds, but mainly like body image issues and stuff like that. So definitely don't join in or watch it happen. Bullies love an audience and, you know, they thrive off of people who do laugh and keep watching them. So just walk away and see if you can get others around them to do the same. Of course, don't just abandon the person that is being bullied. So go get help or something. That's if you're just, you don't want to intermix, I guess. I don't know. Just try to be brave and stand up for them. If you can't, then definitely go get someone else that can. Maybe like a baddie friend or something. This one, stop any rumors from being spread. If someone tells you something, don't pass it on, okay? Because it's going to be morphed and distorted. And by the time it hits the, like, comes back to the person, it's going to be completely different from what actually happened. And honestly, you wouldn't want someone spreading rumors about you. That's not cool at all. And it really takes a toll on a person when people start believing these, like, absurd things about you. Because after some time, you start to believe them yourself because you're being told that and surrounded by it so much that you just can't help but, you know, think of yourself badly. And then the third one, stand up for the person. If it feels like a safe thing to do, defend the person being bullied. Bullies, you know, often care a lot about being popular and powerful. If you make the bullying seem uncool, they may stop. I mean, for us young adults, we don't really go crying to an adult, honestly, if something like that happens. But it is always a good thing to tell an authoritative figure because they could probably maybe kick the student out of school. I know a lot of schools take cyberbullying extremely, like, seriously, and they will not tolerate it. They won't tolerate any form of bullying, especially cyberbullying. And so, yeah, if you tell an authoritative figure, a teacher, they could possibly, you know, take that kid out of the school and create a safer, friendlier environment for the person being bullied. Encourage the bullied person to talk to an adult. You could offer to go with them, you know, if they need comforting, be there for that person, you know, be that shoulder that they can lean on because they do feel alone in the moment and you just want to help them as much as you can. Ask if they are okay, be friendly, ask them to like sit with you at lunch, like, you know, you could do so much to help the person. I remember it was in high school. I think it was junior year of high school. And this one girl that I was friends with freshman year, you know, I was still trying to find my way, trying to see where I fit in the high school, like, scene. And so I would sit at lunch with these random people that, you know, I was nothing alike. We didn't really have things in common, but it was just kind of like awkward first year. You didn't know what to do. So you sat with, you know, a bunch of random people, and there's this one girl that I sat with, and she was really, really nice to me, like the sweetest, like, girl. she had some crazy stories to tell me about how she grew up and her family life, and I just couldn't believe what she was saying. I was like, how could someone live in these conditions? And I could tell her self-esteem was pretty low. And a lot of our classmates thought of her in the same way, and they picked on her, and they laughed at her and just made faces every time she walked around them. And so that started in freshman year, and that lasted to junior or senior year. And this girl, she actually ran away from home, and she ran away, and her parents, her cousin, I think, posted something on Facebook like, please help bring her home and do all this and stuff. And a week before she ran away, she had actually mentioned like running away, but I didn't think she was actually serious. And she said she was running away with this guy that she had met randomly, who was really nice to her, and that she was just so unhappy at school and at home. Like, no one treated her kindly, and she was just picked on for how she looked, pretty much. She was a sweet girl, and it was just crazy because I was like, wow, she actually did it. She actually ran away from home. And I went on Twitter that night, and some of our classmates were posting statuses or tweets saying, you know, bring this girl home. She belongs with us. She's my high school, St. Mary's family, blah, blah, blah. And I was so mad because these people, my classmates or our classmates at the time, had been bullying her since freshman year. And now that she was gone, they chose that moment to start showing her respect and kindness. And I just was so mad. So I went on Twitter, you know, so mature of me, but I went on Twitter and I tweeted at them. So when you at someone on Twitter, it pops up on their notifications. And so I tweeted at this one girl and I told her, I was like, I said, you choose now to give this girl respect and kindness, and you show support for her now, when all this time you and everyone else have been picking on her and bullying her. And it's so dumb. You're honestly so disrespectful for even thinking that tweeting this would suffice for you bullying her. And so I tweeted that, and this girl, all she said was, she belongs at St. Mary's. She's a part of our family, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, where was all this respect and kindness in the very beginning? Where was her invitation to be part of the St. Mary's family freshman year? Like, where was any of the respect that you're trying to give her now? Where was it freshman year or sophomore year? Like, she had been struggling for 3 whole years, and just now that she's gone, you choose to, like, be nice to her or act like you care about her. And that just made me so mad. Like, you know, I said something kind of out of pocket. I was like, you know, I don't blame her for running away because she had to put up with you. Like, I said a bad word, basically shitheads, but yeah. And I remember just everyone was going back and forth about it. It was such a big deal. But bottom line is, you got to stick up for the people that have no voice, because they are all alone and they just, you know, like, you might be having issues too. But if you band together with other people who have similar issues, you could grow with each other and become better people. And it's just all about surrounding yourself with people who love you for who you are, no matter what, and just not caring about what other people think of you, because they really don't matter. They shouldn't matter to you. The people that should matter are your family and the ones that deserve to be in your life. And yeah, that's all I have to say, you guys. I hope you enjoyed my show tonight. It went by kind of fast. I want to just say that tonight at, what is it? What time is it? 9:30? 9. There is a Midnight Mayhem going on. All of the sports teams are coming together and creating little skits or routines, dance routines. And it's supposed to be a really fun time. So tune in to that. Are you guys broadcasting it? Yeah. Broadcasting it at radio.dominican.edu. And so stay tuned for that if that sounds interesting to you. But I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Goody, and this is Awkward.